Are you ready to sell big and create a loyal army of passionate influencers? Then this show's for you. Hi, everyone. This is The Art of the Big Sell. And I'm your host, Lisa Copeland, award-winning sales strategist, author, renowned speaker, and highly sought-after thought leader. I'm going to teach you to create a movement and build an empire. I'll be having conversations with the most innovative disruptors, pioneers, and thought leaders who will share their voices and teach you how they changed their world by adopting the big sell in their organizations and in their lives. Hi, everyone, and welcome to The Art of the Big Sell. I am so excited to launch this show. I'm going to teach you how to create a movement and build an empire. Traditional marketing is dead, and how will companies not only survive but thrive in the year 2018? Companies know that in order to build an audience, that they need to build a movement, something that inspires and attracts people to take to get behind you and to seek you out specifically. And in this show, you're going to hear from innovative thought leaders from many different verticals every single week and learn how they did it. You see, they truly walk their talk, and I'll be interviewing people like Ali Rita, who just broke the world sales record in the automotive industry. In fact, the record was held by Joe Girard from 1973, the man who wrote the book, The Greatest Salesman Ever. Ali, you're going to enjoy what he has to say, and you're going to know that that's what it takes. It takes a movement. Brian Benstock, the number one Honda dealer in the country. What's so great about him? Because he knew that there was a problem in automotive, and he solved it. He created a movement, and he has said to the industry that the entire retail automotive industry needs to become frictionless. He created that, and then he is number one in the country. And Jen Lim, the former consultant to Zappos for 14 years, she helped write the book, Delivering Happiness with Tony Hsieh. Talk about a movement. I think they were one of the first retail companies in the world that built a movement. It's all about happiness. You see, if your customers are happy and your employees are happy, then you'll have a world-class, scalable online business that someday you can sell to Amazon, just like they did. And I'm just name-dropping just a few of my fantastic guests. But again, we're going to teach you every week how you can build a movement. And from that, you're going to build an empire. So I want to take you back 30 years, a little bit about me. I got into sales 30 years ago, kind of by accident. I was selling skirts and I was a fashion major, and I wrecked my car in Dallas, Texas. And like any good fashion major, I'd not been paying my car insurance. So I called my dad and I said, "Dad, what am I going to do?" I said, "I need to get another car." And he said, "You need to figure it out, kid." And those were words that defined my life. So I did figure it out. I got a job selling cars at the number one domestic car dealer in the country. Why, do you ask? Because I knew that I'd get a free car to drive. It took me 6 interviews to get the job. See, nobody believed that this girl, this young girl who's in college, fashion college, could actually sell cars. And a little secret, I'd never even walked into a car dealership before in my life. Not before the day I went in and applied. I'd never been there. My dad had always bought me a car, brought it home. If it needed to be serviced, he took it for service. But you know, out of necessity, a career was born. And what I did figure out about it, though, is that I loved helping people. Now, I didn't know very much. I didn't know anything at all. But you know, one of the big life lessons I learned, that people are really forgiving if you're really good to them. And if you take them, you know, if they're more important to you than the actual sale and the actual commission. You see, I wanted all my customers to be delighted. And I'm sure they must have gone crazy as I was going back and forth between myself and my sales manager 15 different times, you know, just to find out what the payment is. But you know, people are very forgiving and they love authenticity and transparency. And I was that, if nothing else. And then one day a gentleman came in that really defined my sales career, and his name was Kevin. I'll never forget. He was the most beautiful man you'd ever seen in your life. Long, flowing blonde hair. Now remember, this was Dallas in the 80s. And Kevin had come in to look at Corvettes. And so all the guys on the showroom floor said, "Well, yeah, you can help him. This guy's been in before. He's not going to buy anything." And all I could think was, I loved his hair. I wanted to find out who did his hair. So I walked up to him and I talked to him. And I said, "Hi, my name's Lisa. How can I help you today?" And he says, "Well, I want to buy that Corvette out there." I said, "That's great. But can I ask you first, who does your hair?" And he said, "Well, I own a very prestigious salon in North Dallas. And so I, you know, one of my people does my hair. And I said, oh my gosh. And he said, are you really willing to take me out to test drive this Corvette? I'm like, absolutely. So as we test drove the Corvette and I made my hair appointment, I found out something that was pretty disturbing. I found out he'd been in there 5 or 6 times and nobody would even talk to him. Why? Because he looked different. Why? Because he wasn't just like everyone else. I'm not sure. I just know that when he came back in, he bought the car and he wrote a check for it. You know, you can never judge a book by the cover, but he had a fabulous cover. So as he started doing my hair and we had a great friendship, he also started sending me 5 to 8 customers every single month. Because you see, he was out telling my story. He said, she doesn't judge people. She doesn't care what background you're from or what your sexual orientation is. She's just really nice and she'll take good care of you. See, that's how you build customers. So that was another lesson I learned very quickly in sales, is that you don't judge a book by the cover. And I also found out that I truly loved people and I loved helping people. And that really helped escalate me all the way through the automotive industry. So I feel like even at age 21, I started to build my own movement. And my own movement was really power to the people. My own movement was don't judge a book by the cover. And then fast forward, you know, I had been in the car business about 10 years and I had young children at home and I didn't want to work Saturdays, weekends and holidays anymore. So I got in the mortgage business and within a year I started my own mortgage company. I did very, very well. To this day, we're still in business, funded over $1 billion in retail transactions. I started an insurance and financial services company along the way also, really with just my love of people. I just wanted to take care of the people. And then 7 years ago, I decided to dip my toe, literally, back into the automotive industry. I was consulting for a Central Texas dealer, and he had the opportunity to go to Detroit and possibly be one of the dealers chosen for bringing the Fiat brand back to America. So I went up there with him, and we looked at the product. But what I got excited about was the opportunity, because they told us, you know, it's a blank slate. So he moved me off some of my other projects and he put me on the Fiat project. And my part of the project was I was going to write the sales process, define what the facilities would look like. And I had a great time with it. I'll tell you, you know, we put it in a high-end shopping center. I read the book, Delivering Happiness. That's why it's so cool to have Jen Lim on the show. And I realized that the industry needed something different. It needed something to inspire people. It needed to be aspirational. And that's what we did. So we opened up in a 6,000 square foot shopping center, high-end aspirational shopping center, where our neighbors were people like Apple and Neiman Marcus. We built a $30,000 runway down the middle of the showroom because I decided that the end of the car delivery needed to be the best part, just like the finale in a fashion show. We wrote a simple sales process, no 10 steps, no 12 steps, just 3 steps with people at the heart of the matter. I hired young people, millennials, women, and people that had never been in the car business before, because what I loved about them is that they loved the product, but more so they loved the mission. You see, our mission was to revolutionize the auto industry. When I came back with a fresh set of eyes. I'd been gone long enough to know that the status quo was no longer acceptable and that people wanted a different experience. And then I put my stake in the sand. I declared the industry itself my enemy. That's when I started the movement to revolutionize the auto industry. I came out pretty hard against the industry, saying it's not right how women consumers have been treated. So I started writing a national blog called Buying Cars Her Way. I didn't like that more women were not in the automotive industry. So I hired women and I showed the industry how great women could do. In fact, my team in 2012 broke the world sales record for Fiat sales. Everything we did because we wanted to revolutionize the auto industry. And I do believe that that's what inspired consumers to do business with us. And I do believe that that's what kept us number one in the country for both Fiat and Alfa Romeo sales. And then 2 years ago, I made the decision that it was time to move on. It was time to take this message to a bigger stage, to a global stage. See, the art of the big sell has been inside of me since I was 21 years old. And in the last 7 years, I've met the most amazing people, including a couple of my personal heroes. In 2016, I was named one of the top 100 women in automotive, and I got to meet my hero, Mary Barra, because she was named also. I got to meet another hero of mine, Sergio Marchionne, the chairman of the board of Chrysler Corporation, Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, when I made an audacious bet with the head of Fiat brand at the time, Mr. Tim Kaniskis, that if my team broke the world sales record, that I could meet Mr. Marchionne. And those were two meetings that absolutely defined my life. So enough about me. I think now you know who I am and why I do what I do. It's strictly out of passion, and it's strictly out of the fact that I know if you want to change your business, if you want a business that you can be proud of, if you want a business that is a legacy. And when I say a business, whether you are a solopreneur, an entrepreneur, if you run a department, if you're a VP of sales, you're a CMO, you're a CFO, it doesn't matter. You're really running your own business. But more importantly, you're building your legacy. And there's nothing more gratifying than to build a successful business, build a movement that inspires people, that inspires your employees, that inspires your customers to do business with you, but it also builds your legacy. Here's another interesting story about a movement. Elon Musk, when he graduated from college, you know, he did not say, I want to make cars. He said, I want to change the world. So how does Elon change the world? Well, he had three ways. It was the internet, interplanetary travel, or sustainable energy. Well, depending on when you listen to this podcast or this show, you're going to know that he's already launched a Tesla into space. And the reason that he ever built the Tesla car is because it had to have a vehicle, literally his battery had to have a vehicle to be able to prove out the fact that, you know, with sustainable energy, with electric cars, that he would help save the planet. I would say he's done okay because several of his vehicles have 4-year waiting lists on them. How about Tom's shoes? Another great story. Tom isn't Tom, his name is Blake, but Blake was in Argentina in 2006, and he couldn't believe that all these children who didn't have shoes on their feet. He thought it was terrible and deplorable. So what did he do? He's another guy that wanted to change the world. So he started a shoe company, and that shoe company now has the one-for-one model. See, the movement is to save the world, is to change the planet. So now for every pair of shoes that somebody buys from Tom's, another pair is donated to a child. That is a company that has built a movement. I personally don't even love Tom's shoes, I'll be honest with you, but I love what he does. And there's been many times I've bought those shoes over a less expensive competitor or even something I liked better because I thought, you know what, the social impact of the dollars that I spend help change the world, even if it's just my world and my attitude that day. Think about that for your business. But today's movements have all kinds of applicable items in business. I mean, think about it. As an organizational strategy to authentically transform relationships among brands, isn't that what you want your business to do? Isn't that what you want your movement to be able to do, that you can authentically transform relationships, not only with your customers, but with your employees and your vendors? You know, businesses that influence social norms affecting their product instead of just campaigning for sales will see their markets created organically. Think about that. When it's not just about you or your product, but it's about something bigger. So here's some of the reasons that I say that you should start a movement. You want to create a movement that promotes freedom. That freedom becomes a powerful human driver. You know, I think about the company that did that, Harley-Davidson. Everything about Harley-Davidson, you know, think about who their customer base was. It was the 40, 50-year-old corporate guy, athlete, whatever he may be. But, you know, he's middle-aged, and he wants to kind of go back to when he was young. You know, they have so much responsibility around their heads all the time, you know, running corporations or big CFO or VP of sales, whatever it might be. But you get out on that Harley-Davidson, and it's freedom. And it gives you that 1 to 2 to 4 hours of freedom when you're rolling down the road. You know, changing your world and changing your industry and to promote good behavior. See, I believe that that's what we did in the automotive industry. Doesn't it feel good to know that something you're doing every single day changes the world? Again, it might just change your world. It might change your employees' world. But at the end of the day, it's changing the world. So I believe that if you start a movement, you can change your life. And I cannot wait to bring you all these fabulous and amazing guests who have done exactly that. And so many people have said to me, it just seems so audacious thinking about starting a movement. But I can tell you company after company in every single vertical, that's how they decided that they would spend their time and their marketing and their energy as an organization. And that is putting it back into something that's bigger than the organization. and for a company to develop a unique identity and worldviews. You see, by starting a movement, it really does differentiate your brand, and it really makes you a market leader. See, you end up becoming the benchmark in your industry. You're the one that everybody looks to. And the second, if you're the first one to start the movement, if you're the first one to start the conversation, I promise you this, your competitors are going to spend the rest of their days trying to keep up with you. And also creating a movement, it ensures retaining your customers for life. Because the movement, again, is all about what is it that brings you and your customers together? What is that one thing you have in common? And I'm going to give you a hint. You have to declare who the common enemy is. Think about this one. Who is Batman without the Joker? Really, what is a superhero? Who is a superhero if there's not a villain? I think it's just a guy in tights, personally. But I think back to the movement we started here at my dealerships, and that was that we wanted to revolutionize the industry. See, the common enemy of myself and my clients and my customers was the industry itself. That's the big idea for the day. What is that common enemy? Think about it. Roll it around in your head. I promise you, the minute you can get your mind around it, your life will change forever. So there's so many advantages to creating a movement, and I want to help you. I want to encourage you. I want to be the one there with you every single Friday cheering you on. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This is Lisa Copeland, and I will be back next week. And I'm so excited to be able to bring to you these amazing guests. But you can find me on social media, my website, lisacopeland.com. And I want to tell you this, that today my parting words of wisdom is that today is the day to create an army of passionate influencers who will sell you and your product, and that you are never left behind. Because I am very passionate about building successful organizations, passionate organizations, organizations that are purpose-driven, because that's what will take you into the next century. That's what will give your business and your life and everything else the greatest legacy ever. Because you see, you want to take control of your narrative, because if you don't, someone else will. I just want to leave you again today. I want you to be inspired, and I look forward to absolutely seeing you next week on The Art of the Big Sell. Build a movement, build an empire.